talk this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. Going to preach a message this morning entitled, For the Cause of Christ. For the Cause of Christ. For the Cause of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 14 through verse 17. Right here. Telling you, in this last day, you can expect persecution, you can expect troubles, you can expect afflictions, we can expect all these things, but we'll suffer these things for the cause of Jesus Christ this morning. That's what we're going to get into this morning. The Word of God simply says right here, And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. That's simply where I want to speak, but I want to go back into verse 14. And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. I want to speak to you this morning on the thought, for the cause of Christ. For the cause of Christ. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. We lift you up, dear God, and we praise you, dear God, Lord, and we give you glory, God. We give you honor, God, and we give you praise, and we just exalt you this morning, Lord. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to gather in this house, Lord, together in your name. Lord, I need your anointing. I need your spirit, dear God, to flow, dear God, in me this day. Lord, help me, God, to speak your word this morning, Lord, to proclaim your word, dear God. Anoint me to speak this word you've given me today, dear God. Lord, we give you glory, God, and we give you praise, and we give you honor today, Lord, and we exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let me tell you today straight, in fact, there's a few words that just does not sound good to hear, especially us in the body of Christ. Many times those in the body of Christ think they ought to have a peachy road without troubles, without trials, and without problems, without afflictions. We think it's all going to be a bed of roses, but can I tell you, first and foremost, let me tell you, the Bible never promised us a bed of roses here on this earth. But there's words that many don't want to hear. Many think they ought to have all a life filled free of problems. They don't want to hear the words called affliction. They don't want to hear the word called persecution and called suffering. And I understand why people don't want to hear those words. Many people don't want to hear those words because it don't set good to hear those things of troublesome times, things, afflictions and persecutions that will arise in the body. The fact Jesus said he'll make the sun rise on the just and the unjust, and it will rain on the just and the unjust alike also. But the reality is, many don't want to hear those words, but the scripture teaches to those that live in Christ Jesus, they're going to have tribulations, they're going to have persecutions, they're going to have anguish. In fact, John 16 and 33, he said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. In Job 14 and 1, Job uttered these words. He said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. What Job was saying there was that we're only here for a short season on this earth, that our days are numbered, but during those days that our lives were going to be filled full of trouble. And also the Bible tells us, and all that which live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. See, listen right here. There is no exception to this rule right here. It comes, it pours, it rains, it thunders, it lightens upon us. In fact, in the body of Christ ought to expect these things. The body of Christ ought to say and expect troubles, affliction, and persecution that comes this way. Why do we have to experience persecution? Why do we have to experience tribulations, trials, and afflictions? I imagine we all have wondered at along the way. But as I begin to see the Scripture and I begin to study the Scripture, I've got one answer, that when we live for Christ, we're going to suffer for the cause of Christ. When we live in a fallen world that is ruled by Satan and under his dominion, we're going to suffer these things right here and there. In fact, in this world, since the fall, after Adam and Eve fell, you begin to see the results of the fall. It was not long till brother began to murder brother. If you go on and read on down the road, you'll begin to see in Noah's day how the world become full of violence, how the man's heart become wicked, how perverse it became in the land. There was only an 8 that found grace in the sight of God, and it was Noah and his household, all because wickedness had abound, all because this is a fallen world. In fact, Jesus even told us in the New Testament that if we be in Christ, the world is not going to like us. The system of this world is not going to like us. In fact, in John 15, 18 through 25, the Bible says this right here. And these are the words of Jesus, that if the world hates you, that it hated me before it hated you. Right there's the reason for hatred. It's for the cause of Christ. I've told you right there many times, the devil in this world can't stand a Jesus that's inside of you. It can't stand a Jesus that preaches holiness, preaches righteousness along the way. In fact, verse 19, if you are the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. And if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept me, my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other men did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Right there, Jesus is telling the body of Christ. Right there, Jesus is telling the church. Right there, Jesus is telling the body that the world is going to hate you because of him. They're going to persecute you because of him. There's a devil that's going to come against you because of him. How many know this morning that we fight a real devil in this world today? How many know we fight a real enemy right there? I'm telling you today, the body of Christ, the true body of Christ, is not going to be accepted among the world. The true body of Christ is going to be hated. It's going to be persecuted. It's going to have to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. It's going to have to go through some things for the cause of Jesus Christ. And listen, too often we wonder why these things are coming. We wonder why people are saying the things they do. We wonder why people do the things they do. We wonder why we got to go through these things. It's simply because of the one that we serve. Because the world hates him. Because they persecute him. They're going to hate the body. He said his people also. Let me tell you this morning, this world cannot stand those that serve the Lord. Why? Because Jesus stands for everything the world is against. It is light and it is darkness. Did you hear me? And the two cannot go together. They are different. They cannot coincide. You see, in this world today loves darkness. This world loves the darkness. They love the sinful actions. My Lord, today I've never seen a generation like I've never seen right now. People are growing darker in their deeds every day. They'll shoot you as soon if you just look at them wrong. Some will walk in your house and just blow you away just because they just don't like you, just because they think it's fun. I'm about ready to say something. Our society has these kids trained in their video games that they had to think that killing somebody is nothing more than just a game today. There's persecution. Oh, my Lord, the people today, you look at the darkness of man. If they're not happy with somebody they're married to, let me tell you, they'll start roaming around looking for somebody else. Let me tell you, that's called adultery. And if they've done it in their heart, they've already done it anyway. Oh, Lord, what I'm telling you, people will rob you blind. They will steal you. My Lord, they don't want to hear about the idea of repentance anymore. They don't want to hear the idea that Christ, the God of the Bible, the Lord, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, commands every man everywhere to repent. Why? Because man loves their dark ways today. Man loves their darkness. They love the deeds of darkness rather than light. But as a child of God this morning, can I tell you, we are against everything the world stands for. Did you hear me? We are against everything the world stands for. I tell people, I didn't get called into this to be the most popular preacher. I'm not going to be. If I was, you better be worried. Amen. I didn't get called into this to make you happy. Amen. I didn't get called into this to make everybody around here like me. Amen. I got called into this to preach, thus said the Lord. And when you preach, thus said the Lord, it's going to upset some people. Why? Because when you walk in the light, it's going to make the darkness upset because you're exposing the darkness. If you're looking for somebody that wants to be the most popular person, you've got the wrong person. I probably make more people mad than I make happy. But that's a good thing. Paul started a revival or he started a riot. One of the two. They stoned him. They imprisoned him. But he preached the gospel. You see, there's a devil out here. There's a devil that is seeking whom he may devour. There's a devil out here that don't like the glorious light of Jesus Christ. I tell you this morning, if we've ever seen the spirit, we know the spirit of Antichrist has been around. Even John even told us in his epistles about the spirit of Antichrist being around. But that spirit is growing stronger and stronger every day. They want to remove the things of Christ. You may not believe this, but there is an attempt that's going on in this country to try to silence the churches. If there's some that are in high places, if they had their way, they would close the churches down. They would restrict what they said. I told somebody, I'll tell you, like I told somebody, they may try to restrict what I said, but my mouth's been known to fly open and say and offend some people along the way like that. Amen? Amen? And just speak the truth to them, whether they wanted to hear it. I'm not talking about bad words or nothing like that. I'm talking about the truth. And just tell them, it just flew open.
and just told them what it needs to be told to them, whether they liked it, loved it, or lived it. Let me tell you, in this Antichrist world today, they want to silence the church. But I got news for you. Despite persecution, despite affliction, despite the world not liking me, guess what? I still got to march on in the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me tell you, they hated Jesus for who he was. And when they hated Jesus, they hated the Father. They hated everything he stood for. They hated his righteousness. They hated his holiness. Let me tell you, he said he convicted them of their sin. They had no cloak for their sin, meaning he exposed it. Oh, that's where you start stepping on ground at. That's where they really got upset, because he didn't like, because they exposed their sin. You see, the world today, they don't have no problem with Islam. The world today don't have no problem with Buddha. They don't have no problem with the things of this world, these false gods, because these false gods don't expose the sin. Something that false ain't going to expose anything. It's going to sit there, let you do whatever you want, however you want. It's like some of these preachers people like. Not going to call some names, but some of them ain't got a bit of gospel coming out of them. There ain't a bit of gospel coming out of them. You never hear them preach on heaven. You never hear them preach on hell. You never hear them preach on the cross. You never hear them preach on being born again. You don't never hear them preach on sanctification. Hello, and then you don't hear them preach on repentance. Hello, that's a false flag. That's a red flag. We just want to make them happy. I want them to get to heaven. Jesus revealed their sin. They had no cloak for their sin. And so because his holiness and who he was revealing their sin, they did not like him, because they loved their darkness. They loved their deeds rather than darkness. So let me tell you, in this fallen world, the world's master ain't going to like the servants of Jesus Christ, because who we serve. Let me tell you, this Satan don't even like his own servants. He's just using them to get them where he wants them to go. But he's going to come against the church. He's going to afflict you. Yes, I believe Satan afflicts with sickness. Amen? How many believe that this morning? Satan can afflict with troubles and sickness. I told you about a year ago, I was about dead. And I'll tell you, I knew it was an attack of the devil. I knew it was an attack of the devil. Got me in that hospital saying, you're a diabetic. Well, by the way, let me tell you, I went over to the doctor the other day, clean bill of health, and they said, you just keep doing what you want to do. Let me plug Justin and Jazz for bringing me a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. You know how to make a preacher. But I still, after eating about it, eating them dozen of donuts, checked the sugar, and it was still below normal. I had to eat more sugar to get it up. They said I was back dead a year ago, would set this all over. But I said, I'm walking out of here. Let me tell you, Satan will afflict. Let me tell you, I was down to 133 pounds, but I'm up to where I need to be right now. Let me tell you, Satan will afflict. Satan will cause problems. He'll be a thorn in your flesh. But let me tell you, the grace of God is more sufficient than anything the devil can throw your way. Did you hear me? Let me tell you, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Anybody else had a thorn in the flesh? I can raise my hand if you got a thorn in the flesh. Paul had one. Oh, he besought the Lord thrice to take that thorn away. But Jesus said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Think about it. Satan will afflict. He will persecute. He will come against you. Some are saying, why all the trouble? Why all the trials? Why all the persecution? Why all the affliction? Because it's for the cause of the Christ this morning. Did you hear me? Paul would suffer many things, troublesome things along the way for the cause of Christ. How do we know? Because right after Paul was saved, Jesus said this. Told us that Paul would go through this in Acts 9 and 16. He said, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake, for the name of Christ." You go on and you read what Paul suffered. You read about the trials. You read about everything that he went through. And it was all because of the cause of Jesus Christ. We're going to show you how he reacted to that here in a little bit. But all those things that he suffered, imprisonments, the shipwreckness, being hungered, being cold, being having all this, was all for one reason, for the cause of Christ. Some of you maybe this morning want to know why you're going through it. Maybe it's for the cause of Christ this morning. Amen. Oh, I know God don't get no glory in your sickness, but he gets glory in how you react in it, and he'll get glory when he heals you. Amen. Amen. Oh, but let me tell you, some things that we go through is simply because of who we serve this morning. There's things the devil's going to throw at us because we serve him. Because I'm telling you, these things are wrapping up. I believe it's on the increase. He's trying to get as many people to his party in hell as he can get, to be right there with him, confined to the lake of fire forever. Amen. But sometimes we're going to have to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, we ain't going to bow. We'd rather burn than bow. They said, "We'll burn in your furnace. We'd rather die than bow." Let me tell you this morning. Some persecutions comes. Trials come along the way. Think about what Paul went through. 2 Corinthians 11:23 and 27. List everything that he went through. Listen, he suffered stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and in death often. 5 times received 40 stripes of the Jews, 3 times beaten with rods. He was stoned once, 3 times suffered a shipwreck in his journeys. He faced danger and perils of water by his own countrymen, that means danger, by the heathen in his city. In the wilderness he faced danger. In the sea he faced danger. Among false brethren he faced danger. He faced weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Why? Because it was for the cause of Christ. Do you get that? Goes back to what Jesus said earlier in Acts 9 and 16. The things that he must suffer for my name's sake. Right there is a list of the things that he went through for the cause of Jesus Christ. For his name's sake. For his name's sake. And we want a bed of roses. Look what Paul went through. The disciples many times were thrown into jail for the name cause of Christ. The saints of old were persecuted for the cause of serving the Lord. Read what happened to the New Testament saints and look what went on. Think about what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Notice he didn't say a few. He didn't say a handful, did he? What did he say? All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Get that right there. If we're going to live for Christ, it's going to cost us some persecution along the way. If we're going to live for Christ, it's going to cause us some affliction and some trouble along the way. If it's going, we're going to live for Christ, it's going to cost us some relationships along the way. If we're going to live for Christ, it's going to cost you some promotions on the job along the way. Hello? It's going to cost you something. Jesus said to count the cost in order to follow him. How many know that? If you suffer, that's what he's saying. It's going to cost. And if the church, if you're going to be in the church, it's going to cost you to be hated by the world. If you're one of those kinds that want to be accepted, I got news for you. If that's what you live for, to be accepted by the world, it's not going to happen if you're truly in Christ. In fact, Jesus said, if we're truly in him, we're going to experience the same things that he experienced. They start spreading things on you, you need to start a shouting. Hello? Amen? I'm going to show you what they begin to do. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't just in the Bible where they suffered persecution, where it would literally cost many Christians their life. In fact, if anybody, I'd encourage you, if you want to read about the early persecutions of the church, get Fox's Book of Martyrs. It will show you how many of the disciples went through, how they died for the cause of Christ. Peter was crucified upside down. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified the way my Lord was, according to the tradition. Then you can go on. But I want to tell you, church history is filled with persecution. Church history is filled with persecution. In fact, there were 10 primitive persecutions mentioned in the word, in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, that happened throughout church history. The first one was under Nero in AD 67. And under Domitian in AD 81, under Trajan in AD 108, under Marcus Aurelius Antoninus, AD 162, it commenced with Severus in AD 192, under Maximus in AD 235, under Decius in AD 249, under Valerian in AD 257, under Aurelian AD 274, and under Diocletian in A.D. 303, Ignatius in church history was said to be given to wild beasts to die. But before he died, he spoke these words. Now I begin to be a disciple. I care nothing of the visible or the invisible things, so that I may win, but win Christ. Let fire in the crosses, let the companies of wild beasts, let the breaking of bones and tearing of limbs, let the grinding of the whole body and all the malice of the devil come upon me. Be it so, only may I win Christ Jesus. And even when he was sentenced to be thrown to the beast, such as this burning desire that he had to suffer, that he spake what time he heard the lions roaring. He said this when he heard those lions roaring. I am the weed of Christ. I am going to be ground with teeth of the wild beast, that I may be found a purebred. Thrown to the lions, thrown to the wild beast, alive. Why? Because of the cause of Christ. For the cause of Christ. In Mount Ararat, many Christians were crucified with a crown of thorns and head spears run through their sides and mimic the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. At the martyrdom of Faustinus and Jovidia, brothers and sisters of Brescia, their torments were so many and their patience so great that Calcianus, a pagan, beholding them, was struck with admiration and exclaimed in kind of ecstasy, "Great is the God of the Christians." Upon the other pagans hearing that, he was apprehended and he suffered a similar fate. My Lord, you can read right there. You can go on and you can go on and you can go on for the cause of Christ. You can see how suffering has handled the cause of Christ through church history. My Lord, I told you, let me remind you again. If you want to read more, get a Fox's Book of Martyrs and start reading it. But even today, China, people are dying for the cause of Christ. Sometimes back, there's some that was memorizing not just a part of the Bible. They were memorizing the whole scripture. They said if we can memorize, they can take our Bibles away from us, but they can't take it from our hearts. Persecution. They're cracking down on church, underground churches in China, putting people to death. I want to just tell you something of shame. I'm going to say this strongly. This morning, you got people in these foreign countries that will lay their life down for an opportunity to come to the house of God. But there's people in the United States that don't want to get their hair wet to show up in the house of God. My Lord, something's wrong there. We don't know what it's like to go through the things some of these are going through. You go to Saudi Arabia, you go to Iran, you go to Iraq with a Bible or being a missionary, you can be sentenced to death right on the spot. There's a Christian pastor in India right now that's being held in prison for the cause of Christ, upsetting the Hindus over there. Sometimes back there was a preacher that was hindered in Turkey. The president was able to manage to get him out. We know God's favor was on it to get him out, all because of the cause of Christ. Something's wrong today. Something's wrong with our church world in the United States. We don't want to give all to Christ this morning. We want comfort. Amen. We want comfort. We want comfort. Jesus never promised us comfort here. There's people that are literally dying for the gospel's sake in this world today. Columbine High School. How many remember that years ago? The little girl said, I believe in God, but I was told the exact words she said. They said, the news watered this down, and I can believe this even in her nut time. They said, do you believe in Jesus Christ, to deny Jesus Christ? She said, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I ain't going to deny Christ. And they shot her on the spot. It costs to follow Christ. I found out when I got saved who were truly my friends. I don't see none of them around anymore. Tell you, the world will love you as long as you got enough to take care of them. As long as you're providing them the alcohol and drugs, they're going to hang around you. As long as you have providing them money, they're going to hang around you. As long as you're providing what they have need of, they're going to hang around you. But let you get a hold of Jesus and see how many will be hanging around you. Right here we see history of church suffering. We see the history of persecution going on, beheadings. John, the Revelator, the one who wrote the book of Revelation, they thought we'd get rid of Christianity. We'll eliminate Christianity altogether. He was the last one that lived. He was going to see the kingdom of God. He was going to have the vision of it. We'll get rid of him. They boiled him, but he would not die. He was blinded. They said, well, we didn't kill him. Should have killed him, but it didn't. Because Christ was going to show him the things that must be. They throwed him on the Isle of Patmos, and he was caught up in the Lord's day in the Spirit and wrote down and saw that which was to come, which is, which was, hence to come. He saw the church ages. And he saw what was coming hereafter and wrote it down and pinpointed the book of Revelation. My Lord, persecution arises. Hatred of God's people has always been around. They hated Jesus. What makes you think you're any better than Jesus this morning? Amen. I hear people say, why? I've done this for you. Well, I've done that for you. Well, I've heard somebody say that. I've done this. Why do I have to go through this? Well, I remind you, the disciples done more than you ever did, and look what they went through. Paul done more than you ever did, and look what they went through. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, if we're going to live godly in Christ, we're going to suffer some persecution. Oh, but I come by to tell you, don't let your heart be troubled. Let it be still filled with joy this morning. Oh, we get troubled about what we're going through. I'm going to preach a message tonight entitled, "It Would Be Better for Me to Die Than Live," the words of Jonah. We got too many Jonas. Don't get what they want, and they're a pouting perfect. Need to wake up some. You can be in line with the church and not be in line with God. Jonah was in line with Israel, but he wasn't in line with God. Because Nineveh, I'm jumping ahead of myself. But I'm going to tell you this morning, we're in a time like you'd never seen before. They hate the church. But I'm not letting my heart be troubled. They hate what we stand for. I'm against abortion. I'm against same-sex marriage. I'm against drugs and alcohol. I'm against all forms of wickedness. I'm against adultery. I'm against lying. I'm against stealing. I'm against all those things. But I pray for their souls that they get saved. Amen? Because I don't want to see one go to hell. Stephen prayed for his persecutors while he was being stoned to death. Man, Stephen, let me tell you, he was full of wisdom and full of the Holy Ghost. They could not come back with him, no doubt. The belief was that Saul was there, consenting to the death of Stephen. What did they do to him? My Lord, in today's time, a bullet would have been an easier way to go than the way they killed Stephen. They rocked him. They stoned him. I don't believe they picked up these small stones they could find. I believe they picked up the biggest rocks they could find to hit him with. How many of you know getting hit with a rock hurts? I don't know about you, but there ain't no kids up here. But when I was little, I used to like to have rock fights. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or if you got a snowball, if you wanted it to really hit, well, you know the story there. But rocks don't feel good, regardless. But can you imagine being stoned with them? That's exactly how Stephen died. Being stoned, laying down there, being stoned. I think I'd rather been shot than stoned. It'd have been an easier process. But that went around there. Been easier to be beheaded than stoned. Because stoning, they didn't die immediately. It took a while to stone them to death. But while he was there, you know what he was doing for his persecutors? Lay no charge to them. Forgive them. My Lord. Because Stephen was worried about their soul. And I really believe it took a thick old Paul right there. Saul at the time. I really believe that's got a hold of Saul. In the next chapter, we see what happened to Saul of Tarsus. Jesus Christ got a hold of me. He said, "Saul, Saul, why thou persecutest me?" And let me tell you, he would never leave the same that day. But let me tell you, despite everything they went through, despite the trouble, let me tell you how they reacted in it. They didn't go around with us acting, singing, "Poor, poor, pitiful me." They didn't go around acting like a hee-haw, gloom, doom, despair, and have agony on me. Can I tell you, they rejoiced in their affliction. They rejoiced in their persecution. They thought it was an honor to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. I think we miss it sometimes. When I read the Bible and see how they reacted, it strikes a chord with me. It ought to with you too, because it tells me I'm missing this. I'm not doing as they did in the Bible. Sometimes as humans, we go poor, poor, pitiful me. We want us to cry a handful. That ain't what they went through. What did Paul, how did Paul react? Let me tell you, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 and 30, "For I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities." 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." It's because when I'm at my weakest, Christ is at his strongest in me. Notice what he said there. "I take glory of those things which concern my infirmities. I take pleasure." Now, that's some different words than what we want to use, ain't it? Paul was saying, we don't like it. But Paul was saying, I know it didn't feel good, but Paul, what was he getting at? Why was he taking pleasure? Because he was suffering for the cause of Christ. Let me tell you, I've been in rooms before where people that were on their deathbed were more joyful than the mourners that are around them. I remember a couple of times down in North Carolina, I was around a couple of people that were on their last little breath. The cancer had took over their body. Without a bar and a miracle, they were going to eternity in a few minutes. One of those around, we're mourning. I understand why there's mourning. They're going to miss them. I watched that one that was laying there take their last bit of strength and all the strength in their body. Oh, my Lord, I think I could shout on this. I watched these two different times. As far as they could get their hands up, would just lift up and look, put their hand in the air and look up like it was going to be all right. Wouldn't a worry on their face. My Lord, I've seen them praising in their last little bit of air they had. My Lord, I thought, my Lord, what a testimony. What an example. As they're getting ready to go out, they're still using their last little voice, because as your body gets weaker, let me tell you what happens when your body gets weaker. Strength leaves. Your voice is going. But they were lifting their hands and saying their last little bit with a last little voice of praising God, singing to him. That's what I call rejoicing for suffering for the name of Christ. Amen. Paul, listen. Paul, in the midnight hour, suffered. But he was praising after being beaten, battered, and abused. Him and Silas was in prison for the cause of Christ. It's not easy. We don't want to hear it, but it's a reality. The disciples had an attitude in their time of suffering. Listen. Into Acts 5:40 and 41, "And to him they agreed. And when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council." Listen, after being beaten, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Let's read that again. "And they departed from the presence of the council after they were beaten and commanded not to teach or suffer they should speak in his name." And then they said they departed from that council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Who was that? Jesus. "And daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach, preach Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that this morning. I want you to think about it. You can get me Sister Martha, see if you don't mind. They were suffered. They were beaten. That would have shut most people up. And I'm telling you, it wasn't no easy beating to go through. They were probably whipped. Probably even stoned a little bit. They probably had whips took to them. They probably had scars left from the beating. But when they left, they were rejoicing. And guess what? They went back. Even though they knew it could happen again, they went back preaching and teaching Jesus. Oh, why did they suffer that thing? For his name's sake. Notice how they reacted. Notice their attitude in it. No, it did not feel good. I'm not going to deny that. It didn't feel good to the flesh. None of it does. Nobody likes, you know. But the reason they took pleasure in it, the reason they rejoiced in it, not because of what they were going through, it's because who it was for. It's who it was for. You get what I'm saying? It was for the cause of Christ. They were willing for it. My Lord, today, we find reason. I see people, things go wrong. They don't want to worship anymore. Things go bad, they don't want to praise him no more. Things go bad, they want to run out the door and not do anything anymore for him. My Lord, I see people today, they have a headache and grown toenail. I'm quitting on you, God. I'm quitting on you, God. We don't know what it's like to suffer like they did. But despite everything that I go through, despite every affliction, despite every problem, despite every persecution, the body of Christ needs to say, I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise his name. I'm going to give glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to rejoice this morning for him today. You see, Jesus taught us we had a reason to rejoice. See, I'm going to tell you, we're in this world for a little while. Whether you're saved or not saved, sickness, affliction, all that's coming. For those that are saved, we'll suffer for the cause of Christ. But whether you ain't suffer, if you're not saved, you're still going to experience troubles. But I can rejoice. I can rejoice in the midst of it. Why? First, it's for the name of Christ. Second, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And third, this is temporary. There's a land waiting on me that's free of these things. Do you know there is a place called heaven that is free of worry? Can I tell you, there's not a hospital in heaven. Let me tell you what they ain't. There's not a doctor's office in heaven. There's not. There's not a police station in heaven. There's not a tax office in heaven. I said that, didn't I? There's not. It's a place. You don't have to worry about the mortgage coming due in heaven, because he's already prepared the place for you. I want you to think about that this morning. We were talking about birthdays earlier. Let me tell you, there's not an aging process in heaven. I don't believe you're going to see nobody there over the age of 33 and a half years of age. I want you to think about that. Now you say, why not? I got a reason to rejoice? Because there ain't no sickness in heaven. There's no crime in heaven. There's no disasters in heaven. There's no pestilence in heaven. There's no stress, anxiety. There's no funeral homes there. Do you see why I got a reason to rejoice? There ain't going to be no persecution there. It's going to be a great big family reunion. And I can tell you something. Most important, let me just say this. One thing we can rejoice about at a family reunion, there's lots of food. And I guarantee Krispy Kreme will be there. But more importantly, there's no wickedness there. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we're going to be in His presence forever. Jesus said, see what we miss it. In order for Jesus to get to the resurrection, He had to go through the cross. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, meaning He's already went through it. He's already conquered it. If you could talk with those saints of God that have gone on right now, let's just talk to people that I talked about in the church age who thrown to the wild beast, that were beheaded for Christ, those that suffered, those you may have known that went through a hard time on this earth. You know what they would tell you? That fails in comparison to what I'm seeing right now. It's going to be worth it all at the end of it. It's going to be worth it all when it's said and done. The little I went through here ain't nothing to what I'm experiencing right there. You can stand in here this morning. Heaven is real. See, we have problems in this body. We get afflicted. We fight oppression. We fight these things this morning. We fight these troubles. We fight a devil that don't like us, and I don't like him either. I don't like the devil. I'm ready to see him bound. But he's going to afflict us. He's going to trouble us. He's going to come against us till we get to heaven. But I can promise you, we can rejoice. He'll be wanting to know what we got to rejoice for, because there's a day coming free of him. I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This morning you're going through trouble. This morning you're going through affliction. This morning you're going through oppression, sickness, whatever it is. I'm telling you, God's saying, just trust me. Just trust me. Trust me. Trust me. The end is greater than what you've experienced right now. I'm telling you, you got a reason to rejoice this morning. You got a reason to celebrate this morning. You got a reason to lift your hands in praise and adoration. For he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We got reason to rejoice. We got reason to celebrate. There's a better day that is ahead. There's a new, better day that is ahead. We got a promise the world don't have. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it from me. We got a promise in Christ Jesus this morning. Rejoice. Rejoice. For Christ's sake, what you're going through, rejoice. Because you may be suffering for the cause of Christ, and we got reason to rejoice. Oh, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.